I do not know if every man who assaulted Eofric was drunk, but they would have been had there been enough mead, ale and birch wine to go around. The drinking had gone on much of the night, and I woke to find men vomiting in the dawn. Those few who, like my father, possessed mail shirts pulled them on. Most were armoured in leather, while some men had no protection other than their coats. Weapons were sharpened on whetstones. The priests walked around the camp scattering blessings, while men swore oaths of brotherhood and loyalty. Some banded together and promised to share their plunder equally. A few looked pale, and more than a handful sneaked away through the dikes that crossed the flat, damp landscape. A score of men were ordered to stay at the camp and guard the women and horses, though Father Beocker and I were both ordered to mount.
"You'll stay on horseback," my father told me. "And you'll stay with him," he added to the priest.
"Of course, my lord," Beocker said.
"If anything happens," my father was deliberately vague, "then ride to Bebbanburg, shut the gate and wait there."
"God is on our side," Beocker said. My father looked a great warrior, which indeed he was, though he claimed to be getting too old for fighting. His greying beard jutted over his mail coat, above which he had hung a crucifix carved from oxbone that had been a gift from Guther. His sword belt was leather, studded with silver, while his great sword, Bonebreaker, was sheathed in leather, banded with gilt bronze strappings. His boots had iron plates on either sides of the ankles, reminding me of his advice about the shield wall, while his helmet was polished so that it shone, and its face piece, with its eye holes and snarling mouth, was inlaid with silver. His round shield was made of limewood, had a heavy iron boss, was covered in leather and painted with the wolf's head. Elderman Uhtred was going to war. The horn summoned the army. There was little order in the array. There had been arguments about who should be on the right or left, but Beocker told me the argument had been settled when the bishop cast dice, and King Osbert was now on the right, Aelor on the left, and my father in the centre, and those three chieftains' banners were advanced as the horns called. The men assembled under the banners. My father's household troops, his best warriors, were at the front, and behind them were the bands of the thanes. Thanes were important men, holders of great lands, some of them with their own fortresses, and they were the men who shared my father's platform in the feasting hall, and men who had to be watched in case their ambitions made them try to take his place. But now they loyally gathered behind him, and the churls, free men of the lowest rank, assembled with them. Men fought in family groups or with friends. There were plenty of boys with the army, though I was the only one on horseback and the only one with a sword and helmet. I could see a scatter of Danes behind the unbroken palisades either side of the gap where their wall had fallen down, but most of their army filled that gap, making a shield barrier on top of the earthen wall, and it was a high earthen wall, at least 10 or 12 feet high, and steep, so it would be a hard climb into the face of the waiting killers. But I was confident we would win. I was 10 years old, almost 11. The Danes were shouting at us, but we were too far away to hear their insults. Their shields, round like ours, were painted yellow, black, brown and blue. Our men began beating weapons on their shields, and that was a fearsome sound. The first time I ever heard an army making that war music. The clashing of ash spear shafts and iron sword blades on shield wood.
"It is a terrible thing," Beocker said to me. "War, it is an awful thing."
I said nothing. I thought it was glorious and wonderful.